If people could take their seats,
I've got some graphics.
We now have a quorum present, so we're convening the Ways and Means Committee. And I see we have quite a few people in the audience, and so I'd like to say welcome. We do have the minutes and the folders from the previous meeting. Representative Olson, would you care to make a motion?
Yes, I move the adoption of the minutes.
Okay, a motion is before us to adopt the minutes. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Olson, we have House File 1500 on the agenda. Would you care to make a motion?
Yep. I move the adoption of the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Division report on House File 1500.
Okay, the division report has been moved. Any discussion on the division report? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Olson?
I move House File 1500 as amended be recommended to be referred to the Committee on Government Operations.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Winkler, the chief author of the bill, I understand you have an author's amendment that we will move on your behalf. Representative Olson?
Yep. Mr. Chair, I move the amendment titled the A6 on behalf of the author.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Winkler, do you want to just mention what the amendment does?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, the A6 amendment adds funding for the Department of Human Rights pursuant to the fiscal note. So we make sure that the bill leaves this committee with the proper appropriation per the fiscal note. And we will see as we move through the process if that is adjusted downward, but we don't anticipate we'll go anywhere up.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. The bill as amended is before us. Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I first of all want to thank you for the meeting this evening outside of the normal committee schedule. As you know, we're getting busy and moving things forward, and this bill has a number of stops, as I think does Representative Olson's. So I appreciate the time. Mr. Chair, before 2003, any Minnesotan could get a driver's license without demonstrating their lawful status in the United States. Under current law, 12 states in the country do not require a status check in order to get a driver's license. And as Representative Mariani pointed out last night in the Judiciary Committee, that equates to about a quarter of the U.S. population lives in states that permit people to get a driver's license without demonstrating status. This is a bill that has been 16 years in coming. The original change was regulatory. It was done through rulemaking. During that time, a governor could have changed or an agency could have changed the rulemaking in order to do what this bill does. During that time, Real ID came down from the federal government, and in 2017, we enacted, I didn't, but many of you here did, enacted a bill to create a Real ID compliant driver's license in Minnesota along with the enhanced driver's license. This bill does not affect a Real ID compliant license or an enhanced driver's license. This is strictly for driving in Minnesota. It does not create any voting right. It does not create any special classification. This is for the standard Class D driver's license in Minnesota. You will simply not need to demonstrate lawful status in order to get that license. I am joined tonight by many organizations and people who care very much about this bill. I'm honored to have Representative Gomez here as the co-author and Representative Hamilton, who's been a strong champion of this bill in the past and this year as well. And so there's broad public support in this room for this bill. And basically what it does is create a system for primary and secondary documentation that you need to show in order to get a Minnesota driver's license, which will establish both identity and residence in Minnesota. It creates data practices protections for individuals who apply for this license so that the very people that this is designed to help are not intimidated by the providing this information to the Department of Public Safety. It also makes clear that on the back of the license itself, that it says not for voting, and it includes training for the election judges to look on the back of the license to look for that information. So, Mr. Chair, members, this bill is ready to go. It has been a long time in coming, and I just think that we've had powerful testimony in other committees which have reviewed this very carefully, but we've had very powerful testimony about how this bill would affect people's lives, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Okay, Representative Gomez, did you want to comment?
Just briefly, I wanted to talk about that this is, as Representative Winkler said, this is a relatively narrow bill. It really is about ensuring that people who are operating vehicles on our streets have taken a test, proven that they know the rules of the road, and that they have the information that they need to do so safely, and that they have insurance. And so that's why we're here.
Okay, and any discussion from members? Mm-hmm. Representative Groffel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it should be noted that this bill, this law, was enacted in 2017 with both Republican and Democrat support. It was signed into law by a Democrat governor. I see no reason why we should be making this change 2 years later, but I look forward to the conversation on the House floor and would urge my members to vote against it.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then, Representative Olson, would you care to renew your motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 1500, as amended, be recommended to be referred to the Committee on Government Operations.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Thank you, Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
We do have an additional bill on the agenda this evening. That's House File 400, which deals with the opioids.
I didn't quite know it.
Is this a great photo op right here? Isn't it?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. It was so
Thank you. Members, we'll just wait a quick second for the room to clear.
But I could. I can't. Tomorrow, I can't Thursday night. I didn't have it.
You've got help going. Or no, I spoke too soon. I left them in my office.
Once again, I'm going to go to the NFL promise.
That's right.
Yes. It's very close to what I do.
Okay, members, I think the room is by and large cleared. If those that are leaving could keep the conversation down so we can move to the next bill on the agenda. And I will move adoption of the division report from the Health and Human Services and Finance Division. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Olson, you're a member of the committee. Would you care to move your bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 400 as amended to the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Olson,
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I did want to note that I have a very small technical amendment to the bill that came forward from our staff, or from nonpartisan staff. And I spoke with the minority lead, Representative Garofalo, who agreed that we could, I know we have the amendment deadline in here, but that we could proceed with this amendment.
Okay, that's best described as a technical amendment that was recommended by staff. Any discussion on the amendment? Pardon? And the 822 amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Olson on the bill as amended.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have with me Representative Baker, who we've been together every step of the way on this bill, and I think we're on our sixth committee stop. So this has been a long haul, and it has been a bill that has been vetted well and been had lots of ample and robust discussion at each committee stop. So I know there's been powerful testimony that many in the room have heard in their committee stops, so we won't be doing that tonight, and we actually probably won't spend too much time on this and allow for member questions. But really what this bill is about is we're in the middle of an opioid crisis, and this crisis has cost our state in lives lost. We've just lost 422 Minnesotans due to this crisis in the last year. We know that most of the folks that have heroin addictions have started with opioid prescriptions in our state. We know that taxpayers are paying greatly for this already. I've cited this, I think, in every committee stop along the way, that when I talk to my county about how much is this costing our county and just out-of-home child placement costs, the number they gave me was $26 million. So we're talking about a bill that acknowledges the crisis in front of us. It looks forward for innovative solutions that are driven by communities. It looks for alternatives, our alternative ways to approach pain. It makes sure that we also understand that opioids have a proper place in our medical treatment, so we do nothing to limit access. And what this bill does is it generates $20 million in revenue, with $12 million coming from manufacturers on a per unit of opioid made. And it also has $8 million coming from distributors, again, based on the unit of opioid measurement. And then that money is put into an opioid stewardship fund, which then has appropriates out to the various treatment and education and prevention programs that are listed in the bill. It has an opioid stewardship council that is formed with 20 different various stakeholders that advise the DHS commissioner on further and ongoing ways that this money would be appropriated. So it has deep community engagement in how we move forward in this crisis. And again, this bill just really acknowledges that to every pill dispensed, there is a cost. And it's a matter if we as a state continue to pay this cost, both in the people we lose, people we love and care about, and if we continue to shoulder the burden as a state, or if we look to the places that have greatly benefited from selling and distributing opioids in the state of Minnesota, but have yet to pay into this. And so we're really bringing everybody to the table with this legislation. Okay. And with that, I'll turn it over to Representative Baker.
Yeah, I was going to say that Representative Baker would be here to make some comments.
Mr. Chair, thank you.
We all know of your interest in the issue, and thank you for being here.
It's an honor to be here again. And again, I appreciate the time in front of my committee that I was honored to be on last year, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. As Representative Olson has said, we've been kind of connected at the hip for quite some time now on this journey. We're trying to make the Ways and Means job a little bit easier by coming up with some new revenue to try to help our budget situation, to help people really in need. And we've never seen anything like this before, where 400 people are dying, really because of a medicine that is still needed in our world of medicine. It's an important part of pain. And I want to make sure that the one thing that I always say when I make a stop is there's not anyone here saying there shouldn't be opioids in medicine. What we've learned, and we've heard so many crushing testimony throughout these six journeys and six stops, is that the loved ones that we are seeing a lot of empty seats at holiday tables right now, and we are seeing a lot more funerals than we should be, this medicine that is supposed to help a lot of people, a lot of those people are getting really sick from it. And that was a testimony we had from Dr. Charles Reznikoff last week. And he's a doctor who also, again, has He's an addiction specialist, and he has seen it firsthand many times. We Representative Olson and I are committed to making sure that we don't want to hurt anyone's access to this. We think this number is extremely reasonable. And I think this is something that, as we have moved along, we have listened to opponents of the bill and proponents of the bill. We're trying to make it better every time it moves along. And it still has, obviously, some work to do after it even gets maybe to conference. We're sure hoping that'll be the next step. But with that, again, I'll just keep it at a high level. We are honored and pleased to be here right now. This is a very unique bill. It's not been done in the United States like this before. And with meetings that we've had recently, Washington and the nation are watching us right now to make sure we get this bill right. And we still have more work to do on this. So with that, Mr. Chair, I along with my chief author here, stand for questions.
Any discussion on the bill? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to thank both representatives for the work on this bill. I do say I think Representative Olson as well as Representative Baker know that the bill is not perfect. This requires some additional work. But I know you're both committed to getting something enacted into law. I do want to address some letters that were given in our packet here by some individuals, predominantly from my party. I want to make very clear it is irresponsible to say that those who have made this product and sold this product should not be helping pay the costs of this addiction in our state. Reasonable people can disagree about what that amount of money is assessed. I know there's some current problems with the current assessment that's designed. I'm confident the authors are going to address that, but I don't think it's a responsible position to say that this industry should pay nothing. So in closing, I know we'll have a vigorous debate on this on the floor, but I want to thank both members for their work on this and look forward to both parties reaching a bipartisan consensus. Thank you.
Representative Garofalo, just a quick comment. Some of you may have watched 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago, and the FDA just approved an even more powerful opioid to be on the market soon. So many times more powerful than anything that we currently have. So this bill is important and it's timely. Any further discussion? Well, seeing none, Representative Olson, would you care to renew your motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion that House File 400, as amended, be placed on the General Register.
Yeah, it's recommended to be placed. Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. We're making sure with Representative David sitting here that we get that motion correct.
I just don't want to get sued again.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Motion carried. And with that, thank you both, and good luck as you move forward.
Thank you.
And with that, meeting adjourned.